Hi there, Dr. B here with your Module 4 clarifying lecture. Going to talk a little bit about some general comments, talk about your inner teaching, just touch on your discussion board for a minute, and then I'll be answering some questions. I do have to say, I'm taking an online course this summer, and so I'm right there with you trying to catch up and be on time and things like that. So it's been a learning experience for me, and hopefully I can pass that learning on to you. A couple of things to keep in mind. I'm seeing people using the term extinguish and shape, and using extinguish to mean get rid of and shape to mean create something new in the repertoire. Remember that extinguishing behavior and extinction is a very precise term. It means removing a reinforcer in order to, or cutting off access, I should say, to reinforcer in order to decrease responding. So when you use extinguish, you must be using extinction. And if you're reducing behavior another way, you're going to be using punishment. And with shaping, we're talking about reinforcing successive approximations. So if you're using it, you can't use a DRO to shape behavior. That's not possible. They're two separate things. With inner teaching, I'm still seeing a lot of intervention discussions, and so is Michelle and Tina, and not enough focus on the topic itself. Remember, we're talking about concepts and principles. I'm going to put those in context and say, what do you want to do? But I want to hear about the processes that are going on. I want to know what's happening now. And then you can start talking about how you intervene, because we're seeing a little bit too much about the intervention. I want to know what's going on now and what are the processes behind it. I'm also seeing a whole heck of a lot of reinforcing people still. Please, please, please make sure that you're reinforcing behavior, not people. And I'm also seeing a good amount of mentalism, so be careful of that as well. Number two, a lot of you started to assume automatic reinforcement, or you've used the term STEM. Somebody used the word STEM, and I don't know where that came from. There's a reason why we don't call it self-stimulatory behavior, or we don't assume automatic reinforcement. It's because you really cannot tell what function a behavior serves by looking at its topography. And I'll give an example of one of my clients many years ago who was engaging in what looked like STEM. She was flicking her fingers in front of her face. And we started to do an analysis of it. And what we found out is that she only did that during presentation of task. It was actually an escape maintain behavior. It was not a self-stimulatory behavior. So instead of using that term, what I would suggest is you use the term stereotypy, because it's a bit more observable and measurable. For some reason, on number one, everybody forgot spontaneous recovery. Remember, there's three side effects. There's the extinction burst, the respondent aggression, and the spontaneous recovery, and you have to think of all three. And in number three, I think it's important that we rule out medical before assuming spontaneous recovery. So yes, what I was getting to was spontaneous recovery, but we also want to make sure that we're looking at medical issues before we start our treatment. Also, something that I just wanted to clarify, I know that planned ignoring is in the Cooper book as extinction, but that's more of a procedure, and I think it's a more of a function-based procedure, so I prefer the term extinction. With the discussion board, a lot of you were talking about creativity. I know that this was a tough subject with Johnston this week, but think about it this way. So I'm taking a course in anatomy and physiology, and we're doing the dreaded chemistry this week, and I dread it just as much as anybody else. But one of the first law of thermodynamics is that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. It can be transformed, but it cannot be created or destroyed. So I think that's if you think of creativity and behavior as things that are out there, that can neither be created nor destroyed, but can start to end up in our repertoires or could be combined in novel ways. So if you think about it kind of in a chemistry analogy, I think that might help you a little bit. Make sure that you are not ascribing internal causes for behavior. Okay, reinforcement doesn't work because it feels good. Reinforcement works because when something is delivered contingent upon a response, that response increases. Feeling good may or may not be a side effect, but it's not the reason that reinforcement works. And we talked about shaping. Make sure you're not using that as a universal term. All right, let's get to your questions. And I'm gonna keep it to a couple of you had some quiz questions, and I just wanted to make one quick comment about the quizzes. I found out that the settings on the quizzes were incorrect when you go to look at your results, and it's leading some of you to believe that you got things right that maybe you didn't. So we fixed that now because it wasn't showing your response and then the correct response. It was just showing the correct response, which doesn't really help you all that much. So I've talked to the tech people. They've changed the settings. Double check to make sure they're all working the way that they should. And if they're not, let me know. I think that's going to shed some light on some of your quizzes. All right, how do you determine which timeout is the most effective to extinguish a behavior? Now remember, you can't extinguish a behavior using timeout. Okay, so timeout to reduce responding, we'll call it that. And I'm not sure what this means. Please provide an email other than the one previously used in previous lectures. I'm not exactly sure. I think they meant example, and that was autocorrect. So honestly, well, first of all, you got to do an assessment. And this is why I'm harping on this so much, is that when you get to 623, you're going to find out that you have to do a really thorough assessment of what's going on now. So timeouts are not going to work for typically behavior that is maintained by escape. So if you're using a timeout with a behavior that's maintained by negative reinforcement, you're really actually reinforcing that behavior. How do you figure out which one is the most effective? It is a little bit of a trial and error. You always want to use the least restrictive one first. And if that's not working, then you go to the next one and the next one and the next one. Let's see. I was hoping you could explain more of how fluent responders may be resistant to extinction. Basically, so let's think about our fluency drills for a second. If you're getting the hang of your fluency drills, fluency should be quick, consistent, and correct. So you're doing that really, really fast. And it's now a pretty ingrained part of your repertoire. With extinction, with fluency, the reinforcer is going to come on a little bit of a less thick schedule because it's just going to happen. So when you remove that reinforcer, it takes a bit more time for that extinction to occur because it is so fluent and because it is so highly ingrained in our repertoire. Hope that helps. Helps a little bit. There's some confusion about how discussion works. You don't have to respond to two videos. You have to respond twice. So you can respond to two videos, you can respond to one video and then someone else in the group, or whatever you'd like, but you need two posts. Stay in your group if at all possible. Please, please, please do not respond or jump groups before Friday evening. Okay, people are getting stuff up, they're working on it, but please try to keep jumping groups to a minimum. You don't have to ask me per se, but please do wait until maybe Friday or Saturday to do that. If a group member in the inner teaching assignment does not post until the deadline, can we still edit the wiki? Yes. You all should be getting together and discussing your items. If you're not doing that, then you're not kind of doing the assignment the way it's intended, and you're not getting as much out of it as you should. It is really super important that you're discussing the answers to your questions and not just posting a random answer. If that were the case, I'd just give you individual assignments. The talking part is the most important part of this assignment. So please get together. Please talk about your answers. What's the difference between an exclusionary timeout and a seclusionary timeout? Yeah, it's kind of a little bit of a different animal, huh? An exclusionary timeout, what's happening is that the person is not removed from the environment. In seclusionary timeout, the person is removed from the environment. So, and they're placed in a seclusion room. So when people are talking about laws about timeout, they're usually talking about a specific room where people go into. Back in the day, they were padded. They had a little window. You could lock them. And those are the ones that people are really concerned about. Exclusionary timeout is you're still in the general area, but you're removed from participation. So you might have to go into the corner or a thinking chair or something like that. Thinking chair is an explanatory fiction, I know, but that's what people call them. So those are the differences between the two. Seclusionary, think seclusion. And I think that's all the questions. Apparently, we had a light week this week. I think that's good. I will be back in town tomorrow, and I'm looking forward. I've been reading your posts. I've been talking to Michelle and Tina, and keep in touch with all of us. And we look forward to hearing from you. Talk to you soon.